Good evening, comrades, and welcome to Poet Radio. This is the April 2020 edition. It's the second pandemic edition. And instead of going back into my archive and playing something, I wanted to try to use all our modern newfangled technology and connect with one of my favorite authors, a writer I've known since the mid-80s, Andy Clausen. And Andy and I are connected right now via FaceTime, which is feeding into some software and recording Andy from his home in Woodstock. I'm at the Lair of Congress in Rhinebeck. Welcome to the show, Andy.
Hey, hi, Chris.
I'm just giving you a brief intro here, and you and I have known each other since the heydays of Naropa in the mid-80s, a famous day that you walked in to be a guest at Allen Ginsberg's class to wearing the Zaum t-shirt, and here we are years and years later on the radio again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you and Pamela Twining, your partner, were on my program in 2015, and we did a show last year that was dedicated to your book, Beat. So those are in the archives for people to hear, and I'm asking you to be on the show today because I understand you have many new topical poems regarding our current political situation. I thought those would be good to broadcast. So why don't you tell us what you've been up to?
Well, at the start of December, I had been working on editing a couple books of stories of mine and working on the computer, and I hadn't been writing in longhand in quite a while. So I decided to just write into a notebook, longhand, whatever I wanted to write, and not look at it again until January 6th when I typed it up and made a few little changes and separations, but that's it. And this is these poems that I have today are from that 1 month of writing, and there's a lot more of them, but I'm going to read some of them, and many are topical, but some are not unpleasant.
All right. Well, you know, as always, I mean, I haven't heard any of this work because we haven't had any readings in the past couple of months. We haven't been able to do very much. So this is going to be a great intro for you of the new work for me and everyone else. So can't wait to hear it.
Okay. Here we go. Captured Anima. Never forget the Grant Park Zoo in Chi-Town, 68. Never forget the broken glass of empty tanks of pilfered poisonous reptiles. Blackstone Nation, a young, big-headed, five-foot python. The white power swastika on the Polish church, guys, get a lights-out fair de lance. The 47-year-old chimpanzee from birth who'd lived there all his days caged doesn't look happy. The world's heaviest gorilla, his cage floor a giant industrial scale. They kept feeding him, and spectators cheered the needle up. The musk ox that charged me full throttle like a proverbial locomotive in Golden Gate Park, stopping on a dime at the metal mesh cyclone fence, barely touching it. I could see it snort and feel the heat of its eyes. I desire its hatred of me be random. Masturbating monkeys making Aunt Tilly uncomfortable, making 12-year-old boys hold their bellies and slap their foreheads guffawing. The large chimp who from foot to foot danced in a quasi-natural environment, mesmerizing the crowd till he, she flung her, his excrement onto the unsuspecting alpaca sweaters dispersing in horror. Bonzo's hilarious revenge, dancing foot to foot, waiting for a new audience. I'd seen Freddie Cannon dance like that. The big, fearsome odor of the big cats. I couldn't deal with that spray. Imagine the litter box. They are so cute and dear and kittenhood. Look how full grown they tear at slabs of red meat. I wondered the identity of those big raw steaks they feed them. The rhino run in San Diego, not much, but better than nothing. For sprinting rhinos? Maybe build life-size soft facsimiles of critters that can charge. and the giant walk-in exotic birdcage with brilliant chromatic jungle. What? Bonobos in captivity? For experiments? The concept is just wrong, hideous. Bonobos are peacemakers, lovers, smart as hell. Let the bonobos go. I'll take them for neighbors over the ones fighting all the time. Rather, the wild bonobo sex. The baboons were dog and man, jump species, flaunt the spectacular radiant color-blooming bums. Footage of pandas intercoursing with Alexandrian soundtrack of cavalry charge of cellos. Eric Dolphy's feathers for bird. What did you expect, rabbits? Grooving high by bird. Most animals exploit their bark or growl. Rabbits exploit their ineffability, their mind and body obsessed with repro. They don't waste it on oratory. I saw them amazing in a breeding cage in Thunder Bay, Ontario. I saw them, hundreds of them, pedal to the metal, running, hip-hop, hopping, eat, drink, breed, bang, bang, bop, bee, eat, drink, mount up, bop, bong, bop, bang, bang, eat, drink, breed, bee, shop, shoot, bop, bee, bop, 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 quick, bump, bump, hump, fast, wow, fast, fast, the rabbits, more rabbits, bop, 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 bop. All right, here's fall merges into winter. Bubbling like a rainbow metallic weld, sparkling in the wee drop rain. The fiery ivory up the brick poisoned discouraged second story eggs. The fall burning in conical haystack piles. The creeks bristling snakes and varmints seeking shelter. Fall in northern Canada. The polar bears are coming to town. Graffiti pranksters have black spray painted their fur, tagged them. Not many boxcars up there. They soon ran out of structures. Now the big white bears have been tagged and will starve as they won't be able to stealth up on prey. As if they didn't have enough troubles, the ice flows disintegrating under their paws. A prophecy. Back in the 60s, we youngsters, often likened to USA's position in world history, a near repeat of the fall of Rome, no barbarians made easy by two barbarians made easy by its own decadence. Some of us went back to Greece, an example of the Golden Age ended Solon and Pericles long gone. Gold replaced by iron, iron penetrating the flesh of freedom, ideas abandoned or subterfuge, Tom Paine and Honest Abe, Frederick Douglass, Malcolm, and Martin long gone, 2020. No Woody Guthrie, no Bessie Smith. It won't be Attila or Alexander's dad do us in. It will be culture worship of cold, skilled deception and ersatz art, both sadistic and apathetic, confusion-provoking yet jingoistic. The chuckling exoneration of cruelty, the prevailing one way or no way, look the other way. That puts every friendship, every honor, inside a tangled Constantine or wire wall of bleeding doubt and instability, rewarding the heartless, brute, and devious, the sickened gut of betrayal, the smoldering, simmering revenge, the ho-hum so what expressed by the benefactors of carnage. And all the means of perception will be degraded to trivia and inner desire and want for dominance. Catalyzed pleasure shall rule like an iron heel crushes cigarettes and bugs. The loving intelligence heroes of freedom over the entire map, and death shall outline and dictate the division of the fruits, harvest of savings and labor. Either a techno hell or barbaric chaos shall rule us in our forsaken planet.
Well, let's getting to some of the issues of today. That poem, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I get them.
I mean, here's another. We got the deception, you know, in there. benefactors of carnage, all the types of, you know, unfortunate, you know, capitalist, you know, political nonsense.
That is true.
And how do you think that connects with the first poem there? Just out of curiosity, I mean, just what's the connection between the zoo?
So why I came up with the animals in captivity, I don't know, but our relationship with our nature is so much evidence. Now that we're slowed down and not allowed to, you know, bustle everywhere, you know, and
sure.
Here's one, cockwomble. Now, cockwomble is a word I use. You can look it up in the Urban Dictionary. The Scots used it for one of our politicians. Cockwomble, the USA Stalin Mussolini. USA passed Italy CV-19 diagnosis end of March. On March 2nd, U.S. wasn't even on the chart. Now it tops it. Come on, cockwomble, lead the chant. We're number one. We're number one. Cockwomble isn't always lying. Sometimes errors are due to lack of knowledge. Other times he distrusts the knowledgeable ones, especially if they give him answers he doesn't want. He doesn't create much science. He doesn't understand it. He does know mob boss tactics like Stalin. Denigrate or imprison a man's wife or a lover and see if their man remains loyal and silenced, like Stalin, Beria, and Cockwomble and O'Brien. The Americans should have been ready for this. Avarice, gluttony, sadism, masochism, vulnerabilities, gullibility, this Cockwomble knows. Using cruelty is his art. Machiavelli is making a comeback. He's a spoiled brat, would-be child emperor without a regent, using the dictums of Goebbels and the methods of the man of steel. Cockwomble. Guilty. The feeling that a basic truth backed up the once often phrase, it's a free country, is on a hiatus, maybe gone. No one says it anymore. I think they don't believe it anymore. People said it all the time. It's a free country. We walk with a pocket full of wooden nickels. The early bird thought it was getting a worm. It was a strategically placed snip of dirty spaghetti. The next day, a snip strand of barbed wire. Far out for a while meant satisfactorily imaginative. Now it means unworthy of consideration. The White House withstood the yippie mantras, did not levitate. Paint the White House blue or red. I suppose the hipster new wave trust funders heed that the designer profit motive says paint it black, colors are out, rainbows are suddenly out. Pretty is corny. Poetry is pretentiously corny. Veracity is financially negligent. Generosity is enabling. Peace is for the individual and has prohibitive price. Decent wages are an invitation to chaos and malingering inefficiency. Healthcare for all will send millions to the hospital. Not millions of dollars, millions of bodies. If we have universal healthcare, we'll run out of medicine. We'll be in a fix like all the other industrial nations, like Canada, like Holland, like Denmark, like Norway or Sweden, by gosh and golly. How many times must we buy the Brooklyn Bridge? 50,000 a month for nothing but being the vice president's son? It may be legal, but it's ludicrous. The perfect Ukrainian phone call, cut and dry gangster tactics. Question is, does the leader of the most perhaps militarily and financially powerful nation tacitly demanding a favor, holding up and not releasing deemed military aid until the Ukraine delivers damaging info on political rival an honorable act? That's just how business goes down in America? I more than believe it is. We know it. Guilty. They are all guilty. Repubs, DNC, Dems, guilty. As youth, we correctly named them the establishment. Guilty of crimes against humanity.
Well, that's true. Well, Andy, it seems like you're tapping into some of our friend Ginsberg's attentions and preoccupations here. I mean, Alan's no longer around, but here we are with the, I mean, we have the new cockwomble, we have the new dire predicaments and predictions and whatnot. So, man, it's great to hear the poems. It's great that you're writing them. I mean, do you feel like Alan's spirit at all around this? Or?
Oh, all the time. I often think like, what is Alan going to think of this? And you know, I'm like, no, man, he's been gone for quite a while. But he still advises me because I not only remember what he says, I remember what he would have said.
Yeah. No, I get that. I get that.
And I read him too. Like the latest books coming out, the ones about his travels in behind the Iron Curtain and in South America, and the one book about parsing and analyzation of the other beat writers and where they were coming from and what their strong points were and all that, like Kerouac, Burroughs, and Corso. Those books are just fantastic. A lot of his, a lot of the stuff that never got in his poems that he had wrote in the notebooks, and terrific, you know. What a mind.
It's great that his spirit definitely lives on, and, you know, I'm sure there are other writers out there who are, you know, writing profound stuff about this time. But great that you're doing it as well. So I'm glad to hear it.
Okay, let me try this in here. By the way, I use a word, the garch, which is shortened oligarch, and I'm not sure whether I'm going to keep, right now I have the G-A-R-C-H spelling, and it's also plural, the guard. But I may go to the K. But anyway, I do use it once in a while. And, okay, here's another poem. From Oakland to Eternity. Hoo-wee, that cry of Oakland joy, when it was the Brooklyn Newark of the West. My old hometown, we were there, what, 5 years ago? Many buildings the same, yet a bit smaller. Everything had shrunk over 50 years. I got word now it's a regular Williamsburg. No longer Jack London, black, brown, white, red, working class through and through. A social laboratory conveniently attached to Berkeley and its lefties and scholastics. Across the bay from San Fran's irrepressible bohemia bubbling and burgeoning. I don't reckon I'll see a world as innocent again. We believed mostly good things. An intensely alive yet nonchalant walking home 14-year-old on a starlit moon big summer night a dozen blocks from home with a bounce in my step, 2 feet above the sidewalk, feeling like a member of brave and smart explorers. I had only been there on my bike before. There I was, as happy about nothing I would ever be. Oh, when the 18-year-old girl and my 22-year-old self did it and she exclaimed, "You do it good." Oh, when the mown grass blades smelled like they came from a dimension of satisfactory pleasure that endures forever. Then a few years later, we fought like cubs astonished. One could get hurt, fists sailing and stomping shins with boots. If only I could have traded that bovine manure for a kiss from Sandra or Diane, instead of alarming the neighborhood street with our rude ignorance. The salmon jumping up the falls, many failing to make it, mouth of Ketchikan Creek, watching out the library window, Wells' outline of history on lap. The Whatever It Is Festival at SF State, a thunder sculpture in the pool by Ron Boise, the one who did the tiny metal Kama Sutra sculptures on the beach, photographed to look like size. I had his Kama Sutra calendar. Kesey was there on the covert. On stage, the dead, the airplane, Quicksilver, Bloomfield, Elvin Bishop, Mimi Farina, Nick Gravinati's Pigpen, jamming, dancing, the body electric in the college cafeteria. Hell's Angels Ball, the Fillmore District Warehouse, Janice and Big Brother, the band, between sets, she flirts with me. I'm on Baby Rose, opium, Ritalin, shrooms, purple barrels, and cake beer. I saw a lot I couldn't do anything about. The time she sang in the car in language immediately, ancient, authentic, my tears. Watching my daughter's birth. Those times I got a standing O. Coming over the hill and seeing the other heads, tens of thousands of the first human being. A score or more of minutes prior, hearing for the first time what it's worth. All radios attuned, going up the panhandle. There's something happening here. When you said yes, and we both had in the autumn of our lives true love, someone who loved me as much as I loved them. Oh yeah, when I heard the Navy shrink say they'd never make a Marine out of me again. Idiots, idiots, gruel for the garch. Idiots, the penury Caucasian American who thinks Bozo cares about him and will help his plight. The man who will vote for someone because of gender. The woman who will vote for a woman over a man simply due to gender. The politicos who think more prisons will lower the crime rate. The flat earth advocates who think immigrants will flip the flat planet to havoc. The ones who vote for billionaires because the wealthy have no need for corruption. The ones who like Nevada having the same amount of senators as California. Who think Rhode Island should have the same number of senators as Mass and New York. Idiots who think because the package says natural, it is a guaranteed healthy food. The event oblivious who imagine North Korea's surprise Christmas gift will be Korean barbecue. The Democrats who think Hunter Biden's energy expertise was worth $50,000 a month to the Ukraine. The Republicans who think Cockwomble was perfectly correct with his perfect phone call withholding military aid until the Ukrainians delivered dirt on a possible election rival. The working poor troubled by unmet ends convinced their condition is result of welfare in Iran, China, Venezuela. Desperate Latin American deportees, refugees, the terrorized. The idiots who believe Greenland melting, burning California, calving icebergs, radioactive Pacific Ocean, contaminated rivers, manifold pipeline leaks, fracking, slag in the water, supply waves of dead wildlife is caused by gay marriage and Muslim immigration. Idiots who believe the Christian Bible is the infallible literal word of a supreme being. Who believe voting machines can't be tampered with and won't be programmed with malintent. Who believe the original inhabitants who survived ethnic cleansing don't have the right to vote or run for office. Who thinks one should mortgage their future to get a college education. Who believe poverty's cause is laziness. Who revere MSM as the vehicle of lockdown truth and civic integrity. Who have not a notion of what integrity means. Who haven't figured out who owns mass media. Who equate democratic socialism with tyranny, have no knowledge of what it is, and I, like Jesus on the cross, want to forgive them because being idiots, they know not what they do. I'm chanting exile or worse. I'm ready to be chastised, slapped out of recognizable shape, my body a casing, belt whipped and kneaded, encased in cellophane skin, my body pink mush, dip my detached skull in gore and carry it on the guidelines pole. Come and get me. Come and get me. You say I have a plan to change the culture, the laws, the leadership of those of infamy or bust. It's the truth. I did. Wanted to change it all. I confess. Come and get me. Drag me into the streets. Take me to the river. The hippos are rousing, rising, shaking like giant sacks of brown jello, anticipating my body joining the ecology of the Nile. The crocodiles are gliding. They are fast without letting you know how fast to the last gasp before the huge, loud machine crush, snap. And the snakes won't go without either.
Yeah. Well, a couple things there, Andy. First, you must have been disappointed when Bernie Sanders withdrew from the race.
Yeah. What's that?
No, I'm saying you must have been disappointed when Bernie Sanders left the race.
Yes, I was disappointed somewhat. I think that, you know, he really fought hard for a long time, and he was the most exciting, out front, agreeable candidate as far as issues were that I'd seen in my lifetime. But yes, I do think that he got soft when he should have got hard. He's been friends with a lot of those Democrats for a lot of years and stuff, and I think he thought of, like, he wanted to keep going on and trying and stuff, and I'm sure that the pressure on him was, you know, really large. But I personally don't see how Biden can win. He's against most everything that most Democrats are for. 72% of the people want a Medicare for all, so they vote for Biden. I don't get it. Yeah, I wish he would have stayed in. But you know, if wishes were fast trains to Texas, I'd ride. Wishes don't do nothing.
No, I know, but just the issues that were raised in that last poem, it seemed like, you know, of the people who were in that race, Bernie was the most righteous with regard to the concerns of the poem, right?
Yeah.
And also, I want to ask you, tell me, you read the poem about Oakland, and then you read the poem about the oligarchs and the political issues. What's the bridge there? What were you thinking, just in terms of, like, what's the connection?
Oh, well, Oakland had always been a mana, like the tribal stone that I went back to, because we were the kids there after World War II. We were all growing up. There was something new in the air. We had been working class kids, but there was something else happening, you know. And a lot of us were getting smart and realizing, you know, how we were being used, and what we could do. And the anti-war movement was very strong in the Bay Area. From the giddy up. You know, and it was something to see, you know, and there was happiness being a young, there was a lot of rough stuff too, but there was happiness being a young guy out there in California, you know.
Yeah.
You know, when we were 16, most of us went and got cars. We'd get a job and could buy a used car for a couple $100. And, you know,
head over, and
gave us a chance to explore. You know, when you're 16, 17 years old, and I'd go from Oakland to San Francisco, it was like going to another planet.
Yeah, I get that. The poem captures that. All right, cool. Now you see Oakland is it's a very different place, right?
Yeah, I when I went to see my old neighborhood and everything, things were different there, of course. But it has really changed demographically a lot for people with a little bit of money anyway now.
Keep the poems coming, Andy. Love hearing the new work, and should remind listeners that they're in tune to WGXC 90.7 FM in Acre, Catskill, Hudson. This is a Poet Radio program this month with Andy Clausen.
Waiting is and was not my favorite time. Friends and mentors warned me about standing in lines. Spirit cramped like a hand too long at the plow. Some said, standing in line, you get screwed. Sparta burned Attica's olive trees. New ones would be at least half a generation before bearing fruit. The young looked outward with little allegiance to the ruins of war. The old and old and diehard patriotic vigor called on war to save the day. With very little notion of what they, the diehard brain muck, were getting into, the wine of volcanic ash lent them refuge and passage. Like Voltaire, they basket their eggs in the belief intelligent and noble men aspire to goodness, justice, compassion, sense of fair play as virtue, and want to avoid shame. How's that been working out? Letting money be criteria of leadership competence is a grave mistake. We have a right to determine the course of our destiny. When there is progress without money being the means and ends, then there is progress. A reason beyond materialism to accomplish benefit to others and the self. Then we have something precious worth waiting for. A reason to keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
He made me feel good. I know it's quite ordinary to come to a new land after a war in the old. I had vivid memories boarding the train from New York City to Reno, Nevada. My mom is nervous to the max. The Negro man, porter all in white, with broad shoulders, a gold gleaming tooth, speaking French to me, reassuring me. I had never been that close to African descent. I'm not sure I had ever, other than movie screens, seen a black man, at least up close, maybe a GI. He was friendly with the face that lit up his eyes and teeth flashed amidst the stern grain pruned faces of Euro-Americans who I'm told saved us from the Boche. But aha, I knew now, this is America, this man. I thought this is a tray important man who wore white and did important work, and I loved him. This is a poem I wrote for 2020, a New Year's reading. I used to be able to write alive a mason laying brick, a mother scrubbing the water closet, a mother nursing a baby, a friendly native in an exotic country, a helping hand. I'd be moved by a brown 20-year-old will be right back sign on an abandoned storefront on North Kedzie Street in Chicago. Moved by the sound, someone shot a dog at the dumps and hadn't finished the job up in McKenzie, Oregon. I could change the colors of the Wyoming sky by naming them aloud. I could write about a flat tire in the middle of the New Jersey Turnpike on acid, go to the top of the Empire State on it. I could smell the blood seeping, sweating out the crevices in the rock at Lime Kiln, Big Sur. I could recreate the 10,000 unique smells of India. I could bring the message of the sadhu in his naked smoky ashen devotion. I could persuade you to see Caravaggio paintings pled not guilty, as did Botticelli. I could detail the desolation of misappropriated communism. I'd tell what went down in Russia, China, Yugoslavia, Hungary, Chile, Venezuela, and Bolivia. I could syncopate the muse, the music of the gut, the honor that wins a heart, the freedom discovered in jazz, the real grievances of the blues, the rhapsody of tartar squeeze boxes, the drums and flutes of the ancient electric face of sexual space, placed targets of trumpets, the Jerichos of the mind, the rollicking, rolling righteous, it's getting better, crazy Pollyanna, gone daft. I could hero worship my lover and catalyze a salubrious and intoxicating rhythm that purified the bed and brook. I archived the dialogue for when we need it. I researched the broken vow and broke the spell. I could believe like Pascal in God, why not? And the aromas and adrenaline of the racetracks of Bukowski, Jimmy Lyons, Jack Visley. The discoveries of the dream shovels, the roar of a grain of sand, the screams of the hungry ghost birds. I was capable of embodying a generation. I saw a cultural revolution mature, roar, and dissipate in my lifetime like a voice in the concrete wilderness over the changing land. I orated my abhorrence of the massacres and culture-destroying subjugation of native peoples and their way of life. I described the battles to open the heart of the maligned, of the indoctrinate, and was overwhelmed by the pains which inhabited the atmosphere and punctured it with my belated lamentations. Never gave up the idea it could be good. I could make you think Walt Whitman was in the room, pointing out our mistakes while singing The Body Electric. I could rap about how as a people we progress and prosper to liberty, glory, peace, and freedom. But now, nothing.
All that history and what we got, nothing, huh?
That's right. It's at this point, that's what I had to say. And my sister died alone. I think of my sister's death. She was 7 years younger than me. How could it happen that way? There is something fundamentally wrong with our national death culture. Jessica Mitford was right. The money, the illogic that permeates our disposal of the dead is scary, unreal, asexual, obscene, ludicrous, lachrymose, despectic capitalism. Life is reduced to deletions from a data bank. Some agency was her guardian. Her son, who lives in Holland, had no other choice, I guess. I saw her a month before she went. They took everything from her. Phone, computer, a life's collection of keepsakes. Took it all to hell and gone. No phone made it. Très difficile to get her. She wrote for travel magazines. Traveled the world from the Poconos, Modern Bride, to Costa Rica, every country in Europe, Russia, Australia. Later edited and wrote her own airline industry mag. She drank with New York City's big-time journalists. She was Dean's List at San Francisco State. She wrote for the San Fran Chronicle. But she died alone, 40 miles south of St. Louis. I saw her about a month before she went. She thanked me for when I was in the seventh grade, I'd walk her home from half-day kindergarten on my lunch, St. Louis Burton. I thought she had more time, died alone. Money might have kept her around. That's what she told me at that large hospice, if there had been more money. My mother lasted 18 years after her diagnosis of 4 months left. My sister died alone in Missouri. Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, it just seems so strange to me that she had to die like that. Like, what? You know, like it's
the American, the American way of death.
Yeah, and it's expensive too. Like if I had my choice, I'd like the birds.
The birds.
Let the birds eat me.
Yeah, same, same.
But other than that, I'd rather people read my books and go know where there's a stone marker somewhere.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, no, I've been to Janine's. You know, she's not really there.
Right.
You know, I guess some people it helps them, but I don't see why I can, with my mind, remember her much better than looking at something. But
well, like a photograph is better than a tombstone, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, Andy, I think we should remind listeners that your memoir, Beat Memoir, was published, what, a couple of years ago now?
Yeah, that's about right, yeah.
The Tales of the Latter Days of the Beat Generation, a first-hand account. Yeah. And that is also available as an audio book via Audible that we recorded over at your place a couple of years ago. And are you working on any other publications? Are you turning these new poems into?
Well, I think this book here, the ones I was reading. I have also another long poetry book that's more of the last 5 to 10 years stuff, and I also have a book about a trek around the world that I took back in 1990 with a friend of mine. And that's about pretty well ready to go. I think it's like, half novel size. Oh, and I also have another book of short stories.
Huh.
Short stories.
These are all prose books you're talking about, or the travel book?
Yeah, well, there's the one around the world is prose. with some poems, like a little bit like you know, Dr. Williams in New Jersey.
Because mm-hmm. you did Poso Buddha. That was a lot of travel poems.
Yeah, well, the stories behind those poems
are in the...
is what that book is evolving into.
All right, well, good. It sounds like you're busy.
Well, yeah, but then you get discouraged because even getting getting a book published is not that hard. You know, you can do it yourself, you know, nowadays. But it's like getting people to open it up. Bookstores, I don't know. Are bookstores going to still be happening? Is it all going to be through Amazon or Kindles? Or I know people have small rooms now, you know, we're downsizing. Don't have room for books. It's
I suppose that a lot of it will depend on, you know, how long the pandemic goes and, you know, when it comes back and whether or not we can sustain like a commercial storefront culture or not. And that really remains to be seen, right?
Right. People are don't want to, most of them don't want to look at because they think they're going to put bad vibrations in the air at the possibilities. But this thing, if it's, we don't know much about it. Do you get it? You know, is it going to keep coming back every year? Will it get stronger?
There'll be another variation. The virus mutates, and well, I mean, let's hope for the best, right? I mean, I think
that's what people say, but you know, like I think that if the kids go back to school in the fall and come home. That stuff's going to, you can't keep the kids from touching things.
Right. Well, in that case, we got to wait for the medical experts to come up with a vaccine and whatnot. And I don't know, I don't want to get too far off the topic of, but it is a good question. Will we have the interface of the bookstore and, you know,
right.
I mean, like, or the library even, right? Because how many discoveries do you make when you go to a library and you're looking for one thing and then you find the five books next to that one are really interesting too? You can't ever really quite get that with, you know, on Amazon, you know.
It's harder to leaf through something on the internet than it is an actual physical book or to, you know, get the ideas. But the libraries, boy, it's going to be a while before they come back. What do you do? Sterilize every book? You know, after you use it, wipe it down?
Maybe.
What did you touch? It's like, you know, sometimes it drives me crazy. I take the glove off. Now do I go wash my hands? You know what? Wiping down the groceries. It's like, and the kids, it'll be, if their second or third wave hits.
Well, I've been loving hearing the new poems, and we do have probably another 10 or 12, 15 minutes or something. You want to read some more?
Yeah, I'm going to read another poem or two, and maybe Pamela could read one, right?
If she's there and she has some new work, we can try to fit that in, sure.
Yeah, all right, good. Okay, there, here we go. Is it true? Is it true a huge swath of India will be too hot to inhabit, where hundreds of millions now live? Will the land cook? Where will this massive swelter move to? A huge cauldron of people cultured to live their unique manner and outlook, where will they go? Is it true Greenland is sweating out millions of tons of itself into the rising of the great thaw? Is it true Venice might be submerged? New Orleans, too. How many islands disappear? How about Manhattan? As fit water is rarefied and the profit motive derives policy and law and commands enforcement so the big boy wealth will have just cause for war as their historical solution to scarcity and overpopulation and climate change Maybe a selective disease? Mutated seeds have replaced the buffalo. The Pacific Ocean is radioactive. Baby Godzilla's everywhere. Cameras inside cameras. Every busy corner televised. Yes or no decisions faster than sound won't let you escape. Calculate your every future move. Wishing is a curse. Wishing that I could make life easier for you. An adequate provider instead of a geezer who'd be pushing mushrooms is not for you. I have enough foot for games of fun, as in fun and games. My good foot is in limbo. All the parties dancing in another country, another era. I'm not getting old. I am old. Wisdom is more than caution, isn't it? Even children of rocky soil, scions of bedrock, smile at, turn eyes to flowers both feral and cultivated. Yesterday's rebels and revolutionaries are afraid of change. Yet the Garch have made it mandatory. Oh, let my loins tremble. Let my loins oscillate, vibrate, tremble with explosions. Let me barrel through the high marsh grass. Let me tumble in the pure air. Let us consummate in the magic meadow. Let the pagan dance infiltrate our bones. I call on Christmas. I petition a miracle. Bring it, O Magi. Infuse Santa. Infuse the population of indoctrinated, miseducated with the wisdom of B.C. Greece, Sophocles, Euripides, Pericles, Aspasia. Have them ingest Wells, Spinoza, Pythagoras. Have Kansas understand Marx. Have Eugene Debs be honored. Have Wycliffe and John Ball and Jan Hus taught and studied. The Bogomils, too. Let's study with North America's originals, the Indians and the Beat Generation, and yes, the Afterbeat Generation. In parts of the South, regional pride wants to celebrate, bring back an economy built on slavery. Not just wage slavery, actual ankle iron whipping post slavery, private prison de facto slavery in facto. I ask you, what would Jesus do? Would he own slaves? Condone slavery, segregation, condone present economic distribution. Make required reading Jack London's The Road, The Iron Heel, Burning Daylight, Spartacus and Citizen Tom Paine by Howard Fast, Toni Morrison, Beloved, the verse of Jane Cortez, Native Son, Uncle Tom's Children, Richard Wright, The Invisible Man, Ralph Ellison, Cheyenne Autumn, Mari Sandoz, Works, Danny Schott, Liberation Recalled, Elliot Katz, Jim's Terror, Billy Robinson, Sonia Sanchez, David Lerner, Vegas Dust, Bruce Ives, Kid America, Sabella, QR, Hand, PLW, Pamela Twining, educate the people, or we are doomed and damned. I suspect there's not enough time to make people intelligent. Let's all be Jean Valjean. I got her over my shoulder and I'm running through the sewers. History's making me do it. I'm Jean Valjean. We are Jean Valjean. Open your mind, your heart, your fist. Open the pages of your poets. Open that ear, that chest. Move those legs to a rebirth of the music of love. No quit. Open to the jazz, the bop, bebop, bop. Open to the blues, electric and chilling, the yodeling brake man, the howling wolf, bird, Dolphy, Buffy, Bessie, McMurtry, Towns, Otis, Cisco, Janice, Bob D, Train, Leadbelly. Despite all shortcomings of 76 trips around the sun, I can still do it. In spite of all the conditions working against me, I have sex, penetrative sex with my muse. I don't think I can wait on the revolution to have bright moments. Moments of happiness. Bright, bright moments. Happiness. Bright moments.
That's a good uplifting.
Yeah, I guess I had to do a few, but those are getting a little more difficult. Pamela, you want to read one? Yeah, yeah. My roommate Pamela's going to do one now.
Your roommate, Pamela.
Roommate.
Yeah. Well, Pamela was a guest on the program with you in 2015, and it's the least we can do since we're using her phone to actually make this happen, right? So, how's it going, Pamela?
Pretty good. I mean, you know, it's weird because I'm not that social a person, but I find myself really missing humans. I mean, aside from Andy and my grandson who live here, but I mean, just the interaction, you know, meetings and exercise classes and yoga and things like that.
Just hanging out with friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a cup of coffee, you know.
It's so weird.
I went to my girlfriend's house last week and parked in her driveway and called her out into the yard, and we like yelled back and forth to each other.
Yeah. It's so, so weird and sad and strange. And, I mean, let's hope we get through it, you know?
Right.
So have you been writing?
A lot. Not very upbeat, but a lot. It's hard to write upbeat poetry right now.
No one ever asked anybody to write upbeat poetry, right? It's like one of the things you expect from poets is to let it out raw, you know?
Well, I guess I used to like to try to be hopeful or whatever, but it's really gotten hard. Anyway, I have a couple. Well, I have a bunch of new ones, but here's a couple. One is called California is Burning. California is burning. Brazil is on fire. Australia in flames. One can't be a poet and be silent. Broken words shatter worlds with lies. Stories told, retold, compelling fantasies of life as it was wished to be, seen through veils of childhood dreams. Meanwhile, too many have had their eyes closed forever. Shielding his wife from a bully, shot while backing away, he went back inside and died on the floor in front of his 5-year-old child. Stand your ground, licensed to kill in America. Broken hearts, broken minds, caged children emerge disconnected. The emptiness of their eyes shows blankness of lost memories. Suffering with no recourse, the magic of loving touch dispersed in darkness. The sun pours down, impossible liquid buttercup, sunflower warm, melted gold, heaven's wealth, sliding sinuously, enveloping the earthbound, should have been joyous, reaching upward to bathe, engulf, immerse all in sweet drawn butter, molten, incomprehensible love in stillness. But slipping away momentarily, such an ineffably beautiful world, unless there are no windows, no doors, cinder block walls painted to look like outside, a deep horror of false color and light. Indonesia is in flood, Puerto Rico is drowning, millennial rains fall without end, Africa's soil is cracked and dry. Even the rich are carrying buckets from the well. The melting Arctic permafrost releases long dormant diseases of ancient days, vast movements of people shifting from ancestral lands, the cries of family bones ignored that the family may survive. I heard that half of American youth have never heard of Auschwitz. No wonder the light is fading. We all bleed inside each other's wounds, the wells of memory shallow in spite of centuries. Silt washes down from chosen ignorance to fill, obscure, delude, remove the mirrored depths, all source of reflection. California is burning. Brazil is on fire, Australia in flames, Indonesia's in flood, and Puerto Rico trembling, shuddering as the earth tries to shake us off. Billions of creatures, whole species lost. Our final century dawns unknown, unacknowledged. If death has a memory, she will sing for us at the end. Yonandio, Yonandio.
Oh man, fantastic. Yes. Wow. Is that from the 2020? 2020 poem?
Yeah, it was January 27th is dated. Right. And this one, this is called Plague. This was just last month. A blizzard with no snow, hurricane with no wind, tsunami with no water. A forest fire without flame, consumed by an invisibility, devastated by fear as sweeping as the inferno through paradise. In time of plague, change is the word. So much left untold, life as we know it always seen in rear view. As a sepia photo, a sweet memory of elder times when life was simple and pure, better in our mind's eyes at least. Before plague, after plague, the wall between now and then is the margin of our despair, a malignant normality in the quicksand of the middle distance. We get so comfortable with walls. A narrative of isolation, no intimacy, no touch, the ultimate distraction, a justification under the radar and in broad daylight by mental predators pretending transparency. Creating chaos and calling it choreography, seeking ownership of reality in their absurd theater of lies. We are all prisoners here in the poisoned well of the great unraveling, keeping vigil in the desert of our national discourse. It's somebody's last night, making conversation, but trying not to scream.
Oh, yeah, capturing the heaviness with that.
It's pretty heavy. It's all
heavy. No doubt. For sure. Well, I'm glad we got to have your guest appearance here on the program, Pamela. No, excellent. And I think
it's kind of weird not having any readings lately. So it was fun. Thanks.
Yeah. No, my pleasure. And good to hear the poems. And thanks to Andy and, you know, making time, writing the good work, and
well, here he is to say
all right. Well, we're out of time, Andy, but it's sure a pleasure to have hear the poems and have you on the program again.
Yeah, dude, some of the poems I think we'll have people listening to them, you know. Watch.
Hey, comrades, this is Chris Funkhauser. Be sure to tune in to my program, Poet Radio, fourth Saturdays of each month at 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears. Day.